Being an Effective Manager, Task 13, Communication. The number one complaint in every organization I've ever been a part of is lack of communication. People think there's a lack of communication. Now, sometimes there is a lack of communication. We'll talk about how we can improve communication. But just because people are complaining about a lack of communication doesn't mean that the organization is failing in its communication. It can always be improved. You can always work on communication. But just because people say it doesn't mean it's true. In church, there are always a group of people who will say that they're just not informed, they don't know what's going on. But often it's because they're not involved. Especially I've discovered I myself am what we call an empty nester. All my kids are grown and out of my house. And so when I was younger and my kids were home, we were involved in the church campout. We were involved in all the Sunday school things. We were involved in the Christmas program. People with kids don't have time for anything, but they're the ones that are involved in everything. So for years, a person is involved, they're doing things, and they know everybody, they know what's going on because they're involved with everything. Then they get older, and their kids are no longer in the Sunday school, so they stop doing that, they stop doing the nursery, they stop being involved with the Christmas program, they stop going to the camp out. So they stop really their involvement in everything, and so then they start feeling it. You know, I don't know everyone here. I don't even know what's going on. I didn't even know we had a camp out. I mean, they're just not paying attention because a lot of it doesn't relate to them. And the contrast between what they used to be and, you know, used to be in there and they knew everything, and now they don't. They don't know some of the people. There's new people that have come. I don't even know who they are. Because they're not in forced proximity with some of those new people. So a lot of times it's just a change of life. They're not as involved. Often it's just a lack of involvement. But, okay, given that just because people complain about the lack of communication doesn't mean that you're failing in some ways. Communication can always improve. And as a manager of a church or an organization, whatever it is, there's some things that you can do. Communication avenues, first of all. Think about the different ways that we communicate today. There's the phone. There's email. There's texting. A lot of people prefer texting because you're not interrupting someone. You can just send it right away, and the person can read it whenever they want. They can respond whenever they want. Often Facebook groups, you can start a group for almost anything. We have a church Facebook, but we have a renovation Facebook group. We have all these different groups of all these different things, and people can sort of belong to whatever they want, and they get updates all the time. With our renovation, we actually put a little video update, you know, just show people what we've done, where it's going, what's needed, and that works really well. There's Google Calendar. People can share the same calendar, so people can update the calendar and everyone can see it. Families will do this. Groups will do this. You can have lunch, an old-fashioned thing of actually sitting down with someone, seeing them face-to-face. A lot of times a meal, certainly in the Bible, we saw that. We see that all the time. Jesus did a lot of things with food. He ate with the people that he was trying to talk to. If you have an organization or a building, you may have a desk, an office space. You can stop by someone's desk and do a little chatting. Or you can have a formal meeting with a group of people. A lot of meetings a day. So these are some of the avenues that we have to use in our communication. The weekly staff meeting, if you're a church or you're an organization, you have the employees that you have. This seems to be a good practice or a standard practice, meeting once a week to check in with each other. But you need a few things to understand about a staff meeting. Number one, understand the ROI of the meeting. That's the cost, return on investment. It's the cost of a meeting is the salary times the number of people times the number of hours. And so just because you have a staff meeting doesn't mean it has to last forever. Our staff meeting in our church tends to last 2 hours, but I don't think it has to. So if we only need an hour, we do our business in an hour, and then we sit around and talk, and then we feel like we have to be there for some reason for the extra hour. You don't have to. Keep minutes of your meeting. Minutes are, you keep a track of what was decided and who will do what by when. So decisions and assignments. You don't need all kinds of other verbiage. You know, we talked about this, we talked about that. Keep track of what you decide and what is assigned. Go over the last meeting's minutes. Okay, what did we decide before and who was assigned what and how, where are we on those things? Can we cross them off the list? Or is there a problem? Is there something else we need to discuss on this? Or does someone have to just get this thing done? So you go over what was in the past. Then you look at a new agenda. What are the new decisions, new assignments that we need to look at? What's coming up in terms of our schedule as a church? Finally, this meeting is not the place for work. Okay, that's probably one of my pet peeves about a staff meeting. Sometimes you come to a staff meeting and then you're talking about a particular thing. Maybe you're looking at a retreat space and all of a sudden one of the staff members will just call. You know, it's like, okay, well, let's find out right now. And they're calling, and I like the initiative. They're getting right on it. They're getting this thing done. But now everyone else at the staff meeting has to watch you make a phone call, and we're not getting anything done. So the staff meeting is not the place to do work. And don't bring, work on your phone and schedule and doodling. And, you know, the staff meeting is a time for everyone's attention to be on what we're doing here. And the goal of the staff is to just check in on what we're doing, not to do any of the work. So if people start coming together and they're working, now one is working, one is not, and then the meeting lasts for 2 hours and very little gets done. The staff meeting is not a place to get the work done. A staff meeting is a place to check up on the work and coordinate the work. Number six, if a member of the team has really fallen short of expectations, do not come down hard in the meeting, but rather plan a time alone with that person. So in the staff meeting, if you're the manager and you're meeting with everyone and someone is not doing what they're supposed to do, they had these assignments and they keep falling short, they keep not doing what they should do, you could do it right there. You can say, well, how come you didn't get it done? Let's get this done. I mean, you could deal with it right there, but why embarrass one staff member in front of another? Just take them aside later, and now you can talk about it. Maybe they have a problem that's going on at home, or who knows what the situation is. They're more likely to open up to you. They're more likely to admit things. They're more likely to take whatever discipline that you have if you do it alone. Let people save face. How to run a work meeting. Okay, so you have a staff meeting. That's for checking up on schedules and assignments and, you know, what's coming in the future and how are we going to do these things, who's going to be assigned what. But sometimes you need a meeting where you actually have to get some work done. We have to get this form finished, or we have to decide on some, you know, retreat planning, and we need to actually sit down and come up with the plan, we have this flyer we want to do, and what's going to be on the flyer. Instead of taking your staff meeting, where some people are involved and some people are not, decide on a work meeting where we're going to actually accomplish this particular task. Number one, pick one thing that needs to be worked on, and that's it. Just one thing at a time. Number two, invite only those who are related to that one thing. So instead of having the whole staff where two are related and two aren't, and two are just sitting there and it doesn't relate to them, we'll have a staff meeting and all of a sudden we're doing stuff on the young people's thing and my wife is sitting there with the music and it has nothing to do with her. And the thing goes on for 10 minutes. And what is she doing for 10 minutes? So only the people that are involved with the thing, only one topic at a time. get the work done, and then end the meeting. Okay? So the meeting is to get the work done. So when the work is done, meeting is done. How to run a brainstorming meeting. Put one topic in the middle of a whiteboard. So the topic is outreach. How are we going to reach more people in our church? That's our topic. And number two, let anyone come up with any idea they want and write them down with no positive or negative comments. So let's say instead of outreach, it's hospitality. We want to do outreach, but we want to somehow use hospitality to reach people. Okay, that's our topic. Okay, so it's in the middle of the whiteboard. Then let the people come up with whatever ideas they have. Well, hospitality. We could have a contest where, to see how many people each family can invite to their home for the whole summer. And we'll have some prizes at the end. Okay, so that's one idea. Hospitality. We'd have a pig roast in our parking lot. Okay. Now, you could say, well, how much is that going to cost? Really, the community just had a pig roast. Does that really work? So you could criticize it. You could come up with all the positive and negatives about this idea. Or you could just leave it go. Just let people come up with whatever ideas they want. And they start coming up, well, we could have a concert in the park. We could all wear, our pathway. That's the name of our church. We could all put on a T-shirt and visit every business and with a megaphone and invite people to our church. You can come up with all kinds of crazy ideas. So you list as many ideas you can think of, and when the ideas are done, you erase the board, and then you say, okay, those were the ideas that we thought of. They were the low-hanging fruit. Now I want us to come up with crazier ideas. Next, erase the whiteboard. Now I want you to share things that you didn't dare share. Things that are totally, absolutely, 100% off the wall. Okay, so how can we do this? How can we do outreach? We'll all make a box, get a crate, and then we'll all go and we'll stand on our crate every 10 feet in our town, and we'll sing one of our songs. Or whatever. You just let people have fun with the, well, that's a crazy idea. Well, can you come up with a crazier idea? And then they do. And people are throwing ideas, and all of a sudden, maybe out of 10 crazy ideas, there's actually one that someone can use towards a good idea. The idea of brainstorming is to get your brain working. Most people can't think of anything. You say, okay, give me one idea. And they can't think of anything. So the idea is to loosen up the brain, because the problem with our brains is we have breaks. And all our lives, we say something, and then right away we get feedback on what we said. And people are very quick to judge ideas. If you come up with an idea, there'll be 10 people that don't like it. I don't care if it's a great idea or not. There'll be 10 people who are dead set against it. So we have grown up in a culture that has done that to us. So our brains are afraid to think. And we certainly are afraid to say the ideas that we think. So we have to work at this. So if you work with your people and you have brainstorming sessions about almost everything, eventually people can learn to just say what they think, put it out there, get ideas, crazy ideas, doesn't matter, and finally we'll be able to think of things. Number four, take all the ideas and vote on the top three and then evaluate them, okay? So eventually you can evaluate, but first we want to have enough out there to even evaluate. So how do you evaluate ideas? Well, what are the potential problems? Okay, so you finally decided on a few of these ideas. We're going to have a pig roast. What's the problem? Okay, how are we going to advertise this? How are we going to market this? Why would anyone come to this? On and on and on. If our church people are doing all the work that it takes to do this, who will have time to mingle with the people? So what are all the potential problems? What are the potential benefits? we're actually offering something. We all have something kind of positive. We're doing it outside so that even if people don't come, they can see something is happening here at this place. So you evaluate the problems, you look at the good things, and then you try to figure out what's the best thing to do. So ongoing communication. So all those different ways of communicating, having meetings and so on. But ongoing communication, always have an open door as a manager. Anyone can visit me at any time. If you have a question, you have a thought, you can email me, text me, stop in, talk to me. I am open to any thoughts that you have. But number two, walk around. Especially if you have an organization where there's a lot of people, a lot of employees working there, and a lot of people that you manage, they're not always going to come to you. People are not going to come to you as the manager. You're going to be the last resort. So you can have your door open. You can say to people, look, you can talk to me anytime. But often people will not talk to you. They don't want to bother you. They don't want to bring this as an issue. So then you need to walk around. You need to go to them. Go to people, stop in informally. It's not a big deal. It's not a meeting. It's not like, hey, I want a meeting with you. I want to talk to you. I want to grill you about certain things that you're doing. No, I'm just walking around, stop at your desk. How you doing? Hey, what are you working on? And then it gives people a chance to share what they're doing. So communication, really, it's about being persistent, about leaving doors open, using all the different forms today. There's no one way to communicate anymore. It used to be, you know, you could talk on the phone, you could write a letter, you could have a meeting. Now there's, you know, 12 different ways to communicate, and certain people prefer certain ways of communicating. So find out what is the preferred method of someone hearing what it is that you have to say and their preferred method of them speaking to you.